Batter Up.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 176 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
Linda Surovich is off this week, so it is a two-woman pod for you guys this week. But, you know, as usual, like, Mets are just playing out the string, so they're not that exciting to talk about, so might as well only subject two of us to doing it at any given time.
We can't get big names like Rafael Ortega to fill in for Linda. We're not fancy.
Yeah, we're not. But the Mets, unlike most weeks of the recent past, and the Mets did actually have a good week last week, partially because they played like two of the only teams who are having a season as depressing as they are, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Pirates season started off pretty good. They were a surprising team.
It was one of the maybe the Pirates will be good this year years.
Never mind.
There are a few of those. It's just that those years are wrong.
Never mind. And I guess the Cardinals are kind of the closest thing to the Mets that exists elsewhere in the league in the sense that they are a massive disappointment this year. And yeah, they might be the only team that's like kind of more of a hot mess than the Mets are in a lot of ways.
I feel like we're sort of better situated for this because we're usually a hot mess. So we were ready for it. Whereas Cardinals fans,
similar to Yankees fans, not used to it.
Yeah, they have not gotten to exercise those muscles very much and they are extremely confused.
Yeah, it's funny because speaking of like Yankees fans not being used to it, like I obviously like have not been following what the Yankees are doing day in and day out, except the fact that I know that they've been playing poorly. But like the way that the Yankees fans have been reacting online, I was like, oh, do they have the same record as the Mets? They must be like 10 or 20 games under 500. No. They're like one game under 500. But this is how Yankees fans cannot even handle like having a losing season. Now, to be fair, the Mets are actually closer to a playoff spot than the Yankees are at this time, despite having a much worse record because of...
Yeah, go figure. The AL East is like Tournament of Champions right now.
It really is. Before we discuss actually the standings and more about that, I guess we should kind of sort of talk about, because the only thing that happened of note besides like that the Mets won some games for a change is the whole like Pete Alonso throwing the ball into the stands controversy thing that happened.
This hits my like embarrassment empathy button like nothing has in a very long time. Like I feel physically ill imagining myself having the baseball in my hand and thinking I'm supposed to do something different with this one and just throwing it in the stands
and just flinging
because that's like exactly what happened. And it's exactly what I would have done. And everyone would have been shouting at me and all mad. And that's what happened to Pete. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like people are shouting at me.
Yes. Like the anxious person's worst nightmare, people yelling at you.
Like, and be like, why did you do that? Like, I don't,
I'm sorry. Which is essentially how Pete reacted. Like, so what happened for those of you who may have missed it because you aren't watching Mets games these days, which hard to blame you if you aren't. Mason Wynn is one of the Cardinals' top prospects, and he debuted this week for the Cardinals. He made his debut during the Mets series, and he had his first major league hit, which was like kind of a like Baltimore chop down the third baseline that like Jonathan Araúz probably should have let roll foul, but picked it up with his bare hand and tried to make a play and was never going to because Mason Wynn is very fast. So he beat it out for an infield hit. It was his first major league hit. Pete ended up with the baseball because Jonathan Araúz threw it over to first base late. And so Pete Alonso had the baseball. Now, normally, obviously, when a guy gets his first major league hit, you roll that ball into the dugout for him to save it for his mantelpiece or whatever. Pete instead like chucked it into the crowd, and it looked bad in the sense that it looked like it was a bad look at first. But like, if you were actually watching the play as it happened, the umpire said, "We're going to switch this ball out." And I think Pete like wasn't thinking and thought he just meant because the ball was scuffed and the pitcher was going to get a new one. And what do you do when they change the ball out when you're getting rid of the ball? You throw it to a fan. So that's what he did, except they needed that ball.
Yeah. Well, and it's, and people are like, oh no, it was, you know, he did it on purpose. Like, why? Why would he have done that on purpose? Even to be a jerk? Like, all it would do is what happened, which is make everyone mad at him. And he got the ball back anyway, which almost certainly would have happened if he had done it on purpose. So, like, why?
There's no reason for him to do that. Like, what does he have against
this nefarious jerk who's just like waiting around for opportunities to, you know, screw over a young player by making him wait an extra 4 seconds for his baseball to get back to him? I just, no.
Makes no sense. What does he have against literally Mason Wynn?
Beautiful airhead sometimes, and I can absolutely identify with that.
People just,
or it's just like, what were you thinking? No idea.
People just don't understand our beautiful golden retriever who plays baseball. People don't understand him at all, and they misinterpret his vacant expression as malice. Like, and it's not, he's just vibing, guys. I regret to inform you that Pete Alonso is not evil. He's just vibing. He has no idea what's happening at any given time.
And he also, for anyone who missed the follow-ups to this, he, you know, first of all, they got the ball back like right away. And then he gave the player an autographed bat and a very, very fancy bottle of tequila. So again, one, like, seems to me that this was a net win.
A net win for Wynn, you might say.
Yes, Wynn. Sorry, that was not clear. Oh, and I just looked it up, and the tequila that he got him was like $200 a bottle.
Yeah. And I, the first thing I looked up was not the price of the tequila, but whether Mason Wynn is old enough to drink, which is how you know I'm getting old, because I was like, is this young man old enough to be consuming this beverage that Alonso's buying? The answer is yes. Is he turned 21 in March.
Okay. Thank goodness.
I was like, leave it up to Pete though, to like, have this whole controversy happen because he like had a brain fart, and then just have a second brain fart and give him a gift that it's illegal for him to have.
Imagine it could get like even worse with layering gifts to make up for the gaffes. Yes. But each one introduces their own gaffe.
Yes.
I feel like we can go someplace with this.
It's like, oh, I got you an edible arrangement. Ooh, I'm allergic to strawberries.
It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Here is like box seats for a fancy show. And it's like, that's the night of my mother's funeral. How dare you?
Yeah, like, it would just keep going and going. And that's got to be the plot of a movie that keeps going.
Either that, or we need like an SNL spinoff where they only do sketches about the Mets, which is probably a lot easier than it would sound to people who don't know much about the Mets.
So true. So, Cardinals fans, being well known for being the best fans in baseball, as they say, did not take this very well, and continued to insist that Pete Alonso is some evil genius after the fact, even though Pete Alonso was practically in tears apologizing in the post-game interview and did this very sincere gesture.
Because he's a big, squishy, lovey teddy bear.
People are determined to hate him, though, for some reason. I don't get it, but they are, which is why the Mets have to extend him. Like I said recently, I made a tweet about this. The Mets have to extend Pete Alonso because no other fan base can be trusted to love him and understand him like we do.
And also, clearly, once again, the Mets vibes problems this season ongoing. The one way to guarantee to turn those vibes around is to give a golden retriever 9 figures.
So true. Yes. The other way, more long shot way than a Pete Alonso extension for the Mets to turn this season's vibes around, and arguably the most hilarious way, would be for them to simply make the playoffs anyway, which is not...
It might happen, and it's so funny.
It's so funny. It's not at all likely, but as we record this, so the Mets are currently, I think, still losing to the Braves, but not by much. They were winning, and then they were suddenly losing. Not a new phenomenon. It's literally David Peterson, but they were as entering play today, as we record this on Monday, they were 7 games out of a playoff spot, which is a lot with not too many games left. But as we know, crazier things have happened when a team is 7 games down with not too many games left to play. And all the other NL wildcard contenders have played so unbelievably poorly that the Mets still find themselves somehow on the very periphery of this race. And I just think it would be funny. Like, has the universe considered that if the Mets making the playoffs would be funny? So
it would be very funny just to piggyback off of that. It would be one of the funniest things ever.
It would be hilarious. And I think that
I also do have faith that the Mets would, in the playoffs, pull off at least one bizarre series win, and possibly even ruin somebody else's postseason before eventually
the dream
thoroughly embarrassed. But I do believe that there would be at least one series where they'd be like, you just did that to the Mets? Like mind blowing. Like, the Mets of all teams just took down your, I don't know, whatever superstar. I don't play baseball, so. But yeah, that seems like peak Mets. Get in there, ruin someone's postseason, and get out.
And then gracefully bow out. I mean, the Mets, here's the issue with the current iteration of the Mets. They have two very good pitchers still in Kodai Senga and Jose Quintana. The issue becomes after that. And that is the same problem. Like, it's the same problem. It's the same reason why they're probably not going to make the playoffs anyway, and why they would have trouble if they did. Because
traditionally, you need pitchers.
You need at least 4 probably good starting pitchers. Maybe you can get away with 3, but you probably
you do also
need 4.
Some good relievers, and the Mets don't have those either.
No, they have Brooks Raley and kind of Adam Ottavino, and then a never-ending carousel of everybody else. Which, yeah, I wrote some roster notes down, and there are ones that are more of note, but then I just wrote, the Mets continue to shuffle a never-ending parade of relievers back and forth to and from the minors. Because they're like, at this point in any given week, there's like 5 or 6 reliever transactions, because the Mets are just like, just shuffling these guys in and out. Like,
Optionable arms.
Yeah, right. They prioritized optionable arms and they're finally using them. I do the meters every week. So I am usually like abreast, whether I like it or not, I am like aware of who is on the roster. And I still every week have to like look up, like when it comes to the bullpen, when it comes to the starting pitching and the position players, even given the weirdness at the bottom of their order, I'm usually like pretty aware of who's on the team. But the bullpen, I have to look it up every week to see who's still here. Like, I'm
no
like,
shame in that game.
Is Grant Hartwig still here? I don't know. Is Reed Garrett still here this week? Unclear. So, and they've been like shuffling guys. Like, Vinny Natoli is back now. He was not here before. He's back. Sam Coonrod was activated off the injured list. Or was activated in the minor leagues, did some appearances in the minors, and is now up. So yeah, there's like a lot of ins and outs there. And so that's a problem for them if they're just trying to make the playoffs, because none of these guys are very good.
It will be thoroughly accidental if that happens.
Yes. But it would be very funny. On the maybe one more good pitcher note, though, Joey Lucchese, we would be remiss if we, in Linda's absence, did not mention her man's Joey Lucchese, the Churv.
And we were certainly going to be mentioning him regardless, but this one is definitely a little extra for
Lynn. He pitched great in his spot start on Friday. He pitched 5 2/3 scoreless innings against the Cardinals, and got the win and was really good in that game, and was rewarded by getting sent back down again. I know that if Linda were here, she'd be screaming about this instead of me just saying it rather calmly. I think it's kind of pointless that, like, at this point that David Peterson is getting, and Tyler McGill especially, are getting these starts instead of Lucchese at this point, because Lucchese, like, yes, all three of these guys will probably be in the Mets organization next year, but I think that the Mets could get more value out of giving Lucchese a little bit more of a chance.
He's the closest thing they really have right now to an unknown, because it, you know, I mean, and granted, like, that's, you know, it's not like they haven't tried, but, you know, and he was injured for a while, but also, yeah, this, it seems like such an obvious choice to just keep him around because they can. And he's, again, you, like, he's the unknown. You pretty much know what you're getting from David Peterson. But yeah, it's just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, it seems like it. And I mean, I'm not saying that Joey Lucchese is an ace or anything, but pretty much guaranteed to be a more, like, viewable experience than David Peterson at this point. Right.
I mean, even if you're just finding out, like, is he a fifth starter? Is he a seventh starter? Is he a 10th starter? Because those are all, like, roles that a baseball team needs to fill. Yes. But, you know, your fifth starter is going to be different from your seventh starter, and it's going to be very different from your 10th starter, David Peterson.
And I think at this point, they should consider calling up Mike Vassell as well. Like, these are guys that right now the Mets have two good starting pitchers, as we said, in Kodai Senga and Jose Quintana, both clearly very good. I'm very, like, that's been a low key bright spot of this second half, as crappy as everything has been, watching Jose Quintana come back from his injury and pitch really, really well, like a number three, number two, has been fantastic to watch.
Yeah, he looks great.
And so having him around next season will be great. The Mets have three starting pitchers who they really shouldn't be giving starts to at this point, because you have Carlos Carrasco. As much as I love Cookie, he's been a mensch of the week. You know I love him.
Cookie is cooked.
He has a 6.4 ERA. He's a pending free agent. They don't need to learn anything else about him at this point. He is not part of the future consideration, whereas Joey Lucchese, Mike Vassell might be, even if they're on the periphery, and they shouldn't be penciling either of these guys into the, like, one of the starting five rotation spots for next year. We should at least know if these guys are viable depth heading into next season. That's information that they need to learn. And I think that they have learned about Tyler McGill and David Peterson that they are not viable depth beyond. I mean, maybe they are, like you said, Maggie, like 10th starters, which is fine to have in the organization. But I think that they've learned just about enough from McGill and Peterson to know what they are at this point, and they should try something else.
Especially Joey Lucchese.
Yes. Churv. More starts for the Churv. I think that he will be back in September. I think Lucchese is almost a guaranteed September call-up. I know that the September call-ups are, like, fewer in number now, but I think Lucchese will be among them almost certainly. Speaking of guys that lots of people said just needed a chance, Mark Vientos sadly was getting that chance, but he is now on the IL with wrist tendonitis. So Abraham Almonte is now back on the roster. And so the Mets have an infield that consists of a lot of Jonathan Arauz and Danny Mendick and stuff like that.
I feel so bad for Vientos, because this has just been kind of this could have been his year.
Yeah.
Like, there was, he'd had a little taste last year. There was ample opportunity. And I mean, sure, the inconsistent playing time didn't help, but also he was not good,
right,
even considering that factor. And then, and now, you know, he's stuck again, and it's the wrist, which also, and the other part of that is, like, if his wrist was barking for a while, then that's going to pretty much knock out the power in his bat. So you don't know if it had something to do with how he's been hitting, but it's just been kind of a bummer of a year for him. I feel sorry that it seemed on paper, like, it would be the perfect year for him to step in and do his thing, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Brett Beatty struggled, so that was Mark Vientos' opening, right? For him to play out the rest of the season in a relatively low stress environment, without the pressure of needing to, like, without the pressure that existed in 2022 when he was called up and it was like, all right, Mark Vientos, time to be the savior of the Mets in September. Way to go. That pressure is not there this year. And so it was kind of an ideal environment for him to try to succeed, and it sucks that he went down with that injury, so it's unfortunate. Another injury update of note is that Starling Marte is seeking a second opinion on his groin issue.
I'm not making a joke currently
on the IL with, and that's, seeking a second opinion is almost like never good, because it means the first opinion was like not good news. I recall, second opinion when you get good news about something.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, I think the doctor who had been weighing in on this, the first opinion in this case, I think was the doctor who did the surgery.
Yes, I think that's correct.
So I do, you know, I do sort of understand if things aren't going great, you maybe want a new set of eyes on that. But yeah, it's definitely not a good sign.
Yeah, and like, obviously, this season, it doesn't matter anymore, right? Like, he can just rest. Yeah. Like, he can be done. He can be shut down. Actually, unlike the infielders that have come up, the outfielders that have come up have done pretty well in his place. Rafael Ortega and DJ Stewart have actually played quite well, which is contributing to the Mets not being quite as unwatchable of late.
DJ Stewart is having his John Buck moment.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And like, I know the underlying metrics are not pointing to some sort of DJ Stewart renaissance or anything like that. But he did make a swing change this season, and that might be bearing fruit. We'll see. I think we need a bit of a bigger sample size to find that out for sure. But DJ Stewart is not a free agent until 2026. So I think keeping him in the organization is worthwhile. He's cheap and can be a viable bench bat if this is for real. So that's cool to find out.
Yeah, A+. Go, yeah. DJ.
But yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, looking at the future outfield picture, you know, you kind of had Nimmo, obviously, in ink. Starting center fielder for the next while, and Starling Marte still has 2 more years on his contract. And if this groin issue is like, you know, he already had surgery on it and it's back and it's becoming this like chronic thing that's zapping him of his speed, that's like really not good for the rest of his Mets tenure. That does not bode well for, you know, from the perspective of age related decline. So
sure does not.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So to see how that plays out, I'm sure we'll get updates on that as they emerge.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. That's what I hear when I make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform that allows you to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/podcast23, all lowercase, and take your business to the next level today.
Speaking of updates on things as they emerge, we will shift gears from talking about the Mets to talking about wider baseball things. We still don't know much about the Wander Franco situation. The investigation is not wrapped up. It is still ongoing. We have not learned what MLB has found out. But there have been like, you know, rumors and reports and little nuggets here and there, and none of them are good. as we right after we recorded last week, like literally, I think 30 minutes after we stopped recording, it was reported that the Attorney General of the Dominican Republic said that there is a complaint filed by a minor against Wander Franco, and it's not the same person that was the subject of those social media posts that were the initial that this news broke initially. So that's not a good situation at all. That's not good.
Already we're getting into trouble situation here.
Yeah. And according to a person with knowledge of the matter, quote, there are many people involved and more minors involved. So
as soon as it was minors, plural. Oof. That's
really not good.
Like more minors in addition to. So it's not like minors, plural, there's two. If yes. There's at least two in addition to the ones we know about. That's
exactly.
Oh my God. It's really, I keep really thinking bad. I want more news on it because it can't be any worse than where my imagination is going, but it absolutely can be worse, but I still want more updates because this is an awful situation and bad for baseball. I mean, bad for every human being involved, but it's bad for baseball. It's bad for the Rays. I mean, my God, can you imagine if there's other players involved in this?
God, I hope not. I hope not. Yeah. I mean, obviously I caveat this huge, huge asterisk. This is my own speculation and opinion. This is not a fact. This is not reporting. I don't know anything. This is just, you know, where my brain goes. But when you have the Attorney General of the Dominican Republic saying there's complaints being filed by other minors, when people close to the investigation are saying there are multiple minors involved, this is then you go from serial, you know, rapist to sex trafficking. Like, that's where you go. And that's
the scale that this seems, that the implication seems to be that we are at here. Right. That it's just a
really, really bad. I hope it's not that. I hope it's not anything, but I think that the chances of this being like a big old nothing burger are pretty low at this point. It's something. I just hope it's not the worst possible thing.
God,
like,
it's so awful.
It's really sad when you're talking about like, God, I hope that this is just not like when you're trying to minimize the amount of harm, when you're trying to like, God, I hope as few people were harmed as possible. And it's not like dozens and dozens, like lots and lots of people being harmed. But we'll see. We'll get a better sense of the scale of this when Major League Baseball wraps up its investigation. But Hector Gomez did report, and I'll caveat this by saying that Hector Gomez has been inaccurate about things in the past, but not about things involving Dominican players. He was the one that broke the Wander Franco extension when it happened initially, and he was right about that. And he had it like 3 days before anybody else. But he has occasionally, you know, reported things that are inaccurate, but not about Dominican players, because that is where he has his boots on the ground. So for this particular narrow set of circumstances, I do think that he at least I trust him is a strong word, but I at least know that he has sources in the Dominican that know this stuff. So Hector Gomez reported that, according to a person close to the investigations, quote, it will be very unlikely that Wander Franco will play in the MLB again, judging by the results of the investigations that are currently being carried out, which directly commit him to the accusations against him. So basically, like, he did the bad stuff and he's never playing baseball again.
Yeah.
Again, this is a person connected to the investigations. This is not MLB officially saying this or bringing down any sort of suspension. But the fact that people are even saying this to a reporter, not good. Not good at all.
Yeah. Oof.
Heavy stuff. It's really bad. And I just, yeah. There's nothing more to say other than this is terrible, and we'll talk more about it when we know more about it.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Sigh.
Heavy sigh. Stay tuned. A slightly more lighthearted baseball fail. This week in
a reason to be angry at somebody that isn't a human rights violation, literally.
Exactly. This weekend, I took the form of a 45-year-old white man for a reason. I can only fail up. We have frequent flyer John Angelos again.
I will like to say that my suggestion that this entire episode just be Allison reading this interview with him and me making fart noises behind her the whole time. That idea was nixed, but I think when you start to hear some of the stuff that he said, you'll be able to imagine it and appreciate it as I envisioned it.
I was going to say, we can like either insert the fart noises in post or, you know, you can like in your head imagine that like fart noises are playing as I read this. So you can actually hear the words, but like in your brain, we're making fart noises like spiritually as I read this.
And you might get confused because you hear the words and you're like, wait a second, he's just saying fart noises, but actually they are words.
They are words. They don't make coherent. They make sentences, but they're not coherent sentences. So someone called it Kendall Roy level babble, which is, yes, perfect. I mean, I haven't watched Succession, but from what I
said, it was taken off of the back blurb of a copy of Economics for Dummies.
Yes. Yes. It sounds like what a high school student who didn't do the reading would like write in their AP Econ exam. Anyway, this is what John Angelos said. Well, that's a good question. But let's say we sat down and showed you the financials for the Orioles.
Yes, let's say that. Let's do that. Let's stop right there.
You promised to do that and still haven't done it. You promised to do that months ago and still haven't done it, by the way.
Like, Angelos, you called my bluff. Yep, what I want is for you to open the financials for the Orioles.
Let's say. You will quickly see that when people talk about giving this player $200 million, that player $150 million, we would be so financially underwater that you'd have to raise the prices massively. Now,
somebody has to tell them that you don't need to give them the $200 million all at the same time. I feel like this seems to be a key piece of misunderstanding.
Right. Now, are people going to come and pay that? I don't know if we're at the limit, to your point. I don't know if we're in equilibrium. I can't do this. I don't know if we're in equilibrium, elasticity, supply and demand. Maybe we are, but really that's just one team.
You can get through it right there.
What I'm really trying to think about is macro.
Just macro. It's like, he's like, my job is macro.
My job is macro. That's the episode title, by the way. My job is macro.
I didn't think about macro. Obviously, this line works so much. The basic rule of we can't pay players more because then it would be so expensive. But we still have yet to ever see payroll going down and ticket prices also going down.
Right.
So you'll have to, sorry, John Angelos, you'll have to forgive my skepticism, given that you're a liar who won't actually show anybody anything. But you do use big words like equilibrium. Maybe.
I don't know if we're in equilibrium, elasticity, supply and demand. He's just literally like throwing out random economics buzzwords, like just all in one sentence. Supply and demand, things of that nature.
Why are you letting this man talk? So I realize he's like the boss, but there has to be somebody whose job it is to keep the rich guy from saying stuff like this. I mean, please. I was that rich, I would pay somebody to stop me from saying stuff like this.
It's so deeply unfortunate that this Orioles team is so fun and so exciting and so good. And all of that is being clouded by this organization continually stepping on rakes this whole season. Like, from the Kevin Brown stuff to this, to all the stuff that John Angelos has said this year, and pretending to be like highly insulted that a reporter would dare ask him about the Orioles on MLK Day of all days, this sacred day. I remember that,
like,
by the way.
I'm just imagining him everywhere going like, like just gasping everywhere at how appalled he is at all these terrible things being said, like grabbing his chest. Like, that's got to be a big move for him. Like, yeah.
What I'm really trying to think about is macro. Oh, I'm never going to get over that. It's just, yeah, it's really pretty pathetic.
And just a good reminder that plenty of people get rich not from being extra smart, which there's no evidence that John Angelos is extra anything. But yeah, I mean, it's right there in the segment title. He can only fail up.
Yeah,
that is. Yeah, there's no there's what's the word I'm looking for? I don't have it, but I'm sure if I was a billionaire, I'd be able to come up with it. Yeah, he's just so embarrassing to himself and everybody nearby. And yet it will never it'll never come out that way. I'll always be like, oh, John Angelos, what a great guy. We go to the club.
Yeah, like, and the greater implication here, and if you read the like rest of the article, I said the funniest part out loud, but if you read the rest of the article, the implication that he's talking about here is that like he's not going to be able to keep. It's the same thing that Phil Castellini was talking about at the beginning of the season, where like, ooh, we have a lot of good young players, but they're not going to be on our team for long. Like, it's the same thing. He basically is preempting, like, oh no, we're not going to be able to like hold on to Gunnar Henderson and all of our Adley Rutschman and Grayson Rodriguez and all these exciting young players that are leading us to this really awesome season we're having. Like, oh, and we're going to have to raise prices dramatically before the Orioles even play in a postseason game. He's saying this shit. Like, this is what he's saying, basically. He's shrouding it, but he's saying, like, oh, this young core, not for long, guys.
Jeez, man. Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is just one of those things, too, where I feel like this is where you end up when baseball is largely run by people who don't like baseball.
Yep. Yep. And it's just, yeah, it's really unfortunate because, again, the Orioles have this really fun team but he's already like lowering the expectations for the future when this team is winning now. It's really, really sad. And it makes me angry. And it's like, I think it was Robert Orr who pointed this out who quote tweeted this and pointed this out, but like, obviously we don't know the Orioles financials because he's never going to reveal them. But for teams where we do know their financials, like the publicly traded teams where it is required of them to share their financials, we know they're making money hand over fist. So why, like, what makes you think that the Orioles are any different than that? Like, present me with evidence that the Orioles are facing a different situation than any other baseball team. They're all making massive amounts of money.
Yep.
In fact, one of the only people I'm willing to believe is taking a financial hit is actually Steve Cohen when he says that. And he actually said he is willing to take a financial hit for a little while to create a perpetually competitive team. I believe him because the Mets are breaking payroll records. The Orioles are not doing that. In fact, they're doing the opposite of that.
The only teams that have ever had their books open for whatever reason, usually because they're public or whatnot, are swimming in money all the time.
Yes.
Money pours into the league from media at an ungodly rate. And if teams really need to decline to re-sign even a single star, if that's what they need to do to keep their head above water, then they suck at this and should be taken over by somebody who can make money running one of the most popular games, just as an example, like everybody else manages to. But
right, you know. Yeah, so that's the situation with the Baltimore Orioles. They are an amazing baseball team, but their owner sucks. And the organization keeps, like, you know, taking away from the success of the product on the field by having, like, by giving quotes like this and doing to Kevin Brown what they did and stuff like that. not good.
Super rough, man.
But we will, you know, but we will, instead of baseball making us sad, we will end the show this week like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
This has been sort of one of those weird, like, end of summer kind of weeks where not a lot happened. But I did realize I was going to do the pool because we had a great pool day yesterday. And I remember, no, I already did the pool for a walk-off win. I was like, ah, what about the beach? Nope. We did one of those for a walk-off win too. So I decided to do like a all-inclusive summer fun walk-off win. And that this one will also include camp, because I had an amazing time at camp this year, A+ camp stuff. And between like camp and swimming, and they got all kinds of like advancement in their swim levels. And, you know, camp, swim, pool, beach, beautiful parks, sprinklers out the wazoo. It's just been a really A+ summer, good city logistics for that kind of thing. So, yes, thank you, summer, for being awesome.
Amazing. Yep. I will give it a live update that the Mets are winning now. I see when I record the podcast, they don't record in a room with the game on. And so sometimes I don't know what's happening. And the Mets put up 5 runs in the 4th inning and are now winning. Or 4 runs in the 5th inning. I inverted those. 4 runs in the 5th inning and are now winning 7-4 in the 6th.
I will just sit back and assume that that's...
It's 10-4 now. I don't know what just happened.
But we have 10. But the Mets have 10.
The Mets.
Oh.
The Mets do indeed have 10. I don't know how that just happened, but...
Not gonna question it.
Not good. Oh, Francisco Lindor hit a homer. Yay. A 3-run homer. Francisco Lindor hit a 3-run homer. That's very exciting.
Just now? Or was that the 10?
That was, that's how it became. It went from 7-10.
Gotcha. A+. Yay. Francisco Lindor, we love you.
Francisco Lindor. I will say, because Linda and I both had pretty that I think Linda and I are maybe the only two, don't fact check us, the only two whose Amazing Avenue preseason bold predictions are like still possible. Linda said that I think Linda said Kodai Senga is going to have the most strikeouts. I know she said that like Kodai Senga is going to be like the best starting pitcher on the team in some way. I think she said that Kodai Senga is going to have the most strikeouts of any of the Mets
starters.
Probably
already does.
Which is, already probably true and going to be true most likely by at the end of the season. So hers, check. Mine is that Lindor is going to have a 30-30 season. Not check yet, but still possible.
Getting close, yeah.
Yeah, Lindor, he already has a 2020 season. He reached 20 stolen bases on Monday, I think, or Tuesday, early last week. And he was the first Met to have a 2020 season in like 15 years. And so he's on his way. I mean, obviously it'll be tough to reach that many, like get 10 more stolen bases in like a month, but he can do it.
Anyone can pull it off.
I think he can do it. And that was his 23rd home run. So he needs 7 more home runs for 30 home runs. And then I think he needs 9 more stolen bases, because I think he stole another base last week.
I think the 7 is not a guarantee, but I think it's actually like very reachable.
Yeah,
especially with Dollars for Dingers coming up, when everybody knows the ball goes flying for Dollars for Dingers.
Please, Francisco. Oh my God. I've officially decided live on the pod, my one of my extras, if not my only extra, maybe I'll do other extras, but definitely I will have an extra if Lindor hits like a 30-30 season. I'll kick in like 30
more
bucks.
That is a very
bucks.
Good extra.
30 more bucks if Lindor hits a 30-30 season. Obviously, got to keep with the 30 theme. So if Lindor reaches 30-30 season, add 30 bucks to my Dollars for Dingers donation.
Love it.
You heard it here first. All right. Circling back to my walk-off win.
Allison, what's your walk-off win?
Yes.
Nobody ever asks you.
No one ever asks me. I just jump in and I jump in and give it when nobody asks me. I force it upon you people. My walk-off win is that Blue had a really good first day of daycare today.
I'm so proud of you, Blue.
Yeah, the pop. Not that I was nervous about it from, I wasn't anxious about it from like a, you know, I thought that she would like get in a tussle with another dog perspective because she loves literally every dog, which is why this is so good for her. But, you know, daycare can be a lot for a puppy.
Tell me about it. Oh, yeah, puppy.
Puppy. I, also, it can be a lot for a human, too. It just can be a lot. Like, humans and puppies know. It's like, you know, everybody, all these new potential friends all coming at you at once. You're not ready for it.
Sensory overwhelm.
A lot can happen. And, you know, I wasn't worried about her making friends. I was more worried about her, like, misbehaving and being a jerk because we're in the peak of, like, teenage puppy phase. She's 9 months old and she, you know, just as an example, before we left for daycare, she destroyed our comforter and now we need a new one. So
he's like, you're not my real mom.
Yeah, she like whenever she's awake for too long before one of us notices that she's awake, that's a recipe for disaster because she's like, if you do not engage with me immediately upon my waking up, I will chew something I'm not supposed to. That's a certified Blue guarantee. So, you know, it can be like hit or miss with puppy teenage phase, a lot of destructive behavior, a lot of pretending she didn't learn the commands that she learned in training, and all that sort of stuff. So I did have some anxiety about it, especially like, you know, even if you know that your baby's gonna do great, you get nervous to leave them. She didn't care at all that I was leaving. She like, I unclipped her harness and she sprinted away and was like, bye. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll see you later. And got an email halfway through the day that she was doing great and she was currently settling in for nap time. Today was technically her like trial period, our dog daycare, which I think this is a very good policy, does like a trial day where if your dog does well, then you can keep going there. But if they have a mishap or something, it's like maybe you might want to wait or try somewhere else that might be a better fit. Understandable. But Blue passed with flying colors. And so it's great. Yeah, because Michael is back at school now. And so we need a puppy daycare 2 days a week when I'm in the office. And she had a great first day. And it's a walk-off win for her because she's happy. And it's a walk-off win for us because she comes home tired and ready to nap some more. So that is good for everyone involved. So that is my walk-off win. In the meantime, you can go to amazonavenue.com. No, you can't. Oh my God. Ah, I made that mistake for the first time, I think. No, we are not connected with amazonavenue.com anymore. Although Linda and I do still
you can
right
go
there
for other nice things.
You can go there for other nice things, but you can't go there for us. You could go to homerunapplesauce.com. That is the first time I've made that mistake. You could go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic podcasts. You can support our work connected to the fact that we're no longer supported by Vox and Amazing Avenue. You can go to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce to help support our podcast. Keep the lights on. It really, really helps. Please, please, please. If you're considering becoming a patron, please do so. You can find the podcast on whatever your favorite podcast app is. Just search Home Run Applesauce. You can find us right there. All of our fantastic shows are all in one feed for you. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on Twitter and Instagram at HR Applesauce. You can follow this show on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky and TikTok at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
And Linda is at Linda Surovich. You can follow each of us. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in podcasts.